We are blessed to have our speaker today, Phil Tratt. Phil's a graduate of Berklee College fairly recently. I mean, what 2 years ago? And now you're working at, and always remind me because they just changed their name. Is it Youthquake? No, that's all right. That sounds a lot better. Youthquake was way off. I'm glad I asked. He works with Youth Corps Ministry, working with youth in Kiowa County, and he wants to share about what the Lord has laid on his heart and hopefully about some potential opportunities to share. I'm sure you're always looking for help in the ministries. And so will you join me in a word of prayer for him? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, and I just ask your blessing on our speaker that we may be edified and encouraged by the work you're doing. I pray, Lord, that we would listen to what you are saying through your servant, and may our hearts be quickened to an awareness of the Holy Spirit that is in this place. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We welcome Phil Tratt.
So many eyes. Oh, I got this. Hopefully that won't fall off. So, they say that you should start every sermon off with a joke, but I don't have one. I'm so glad you all caught that. I was like, is this going to work? Hopefully it does. Oh, let's see if I can do this with slow talking. I usually talk really fast. I'm not nervous at all. Third time that I've preached throughout my life. So awesome. So, to make this easier for all of us, I've sectioned off this sermon, lesson, whatever you want to call it, into five parts. Why do we struggle? During the struggle, during the darkest hours, when the dust settles, and the conclusion. So let's get this bad boy started. So when I was a really young kid, I always got pushed aside. I always got overlooked, ignored, and in some cases, literally seen through. It was a feat to make friends for me, and it was often a goal to be heard while not pretty much screaming. As I grew older, the hardships, they didn't really stop. They just kept coming and kept hitting me. It was started to truly be a struggle. So we begin part one, why we struggle. And this will be easier for you, for the note takers in the room. What's the point of struggling? Why do we struggle? In a real-life situation, and be realistic here, what are your program responses when you're faced with adversity, whether it's test, drama, hearsay, relational drama, all sorts of stuff? What are your program responses? Is it, y'all, not again, we just went through this yesterday. Is it, what the crap? Guys, come on, really? It's called face-to-face, not tweeting or Facebooking. Or, I swear to God, I'm going to snap, I'm going to punch one of y'all in the face. We've talked about this multiple times. Or is it, God, where the heck are you? Why aren't you here? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you such as come to man, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you were capable of. Let me try that again. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are capable of. But with that temptation, he will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Pretty much the verses, God will not ever give you a challenge that you cannot handle. Simple as that. But why does God give us these trials? Actually, let's change up the wording. Why does God allow us to experience these trials? These, or my mother's words, these furnace moments, if you will. He gives us these trials not only because he knows that we can take them. If I can find my spot again. Okay. He gives us these trials not only because he knows we can take them, but he knows he can teach us, evolve us through these trials into the person we are designed and destined to be. I love water. Okay. He gives us these trials to help us to learn about ourselves, what we are capable of, and how much we are capable of accomplishing. You might be surprised one day. Part two, during the struggle. So, when I took a semester off my sophomore year to go to Israel, and some of you have already heard this story, I have the presumptuous mindset of, oh, this is just another trip. Except it's 3 months in God's backyard. This is going to be really interesting. For the first 2 weeks, it felt like it had been 2 years. And the reason why that was is because God had been, at the time I felt like God was taking away my love of movies and video games and wasn't responding the best to it at all. When in reality, he was moving things aside to make me realize something very simple about myself. I'm a fighter. I fight for the things that truly matter to me in my life. What do you struggle with? Is it relationships, communication, grades, who you are around people, yourself? During those times of hardships, how do you respond? What actions do you take to confront them? Do you push them off to the side and hopefully they blow over? Do you push them onto the back burner and hopefully they just take care of themselves? Or do you assess and conquer? Everyone struggles with different things on all different levels. But if we don't have these struggles, if we didn't have these daily trials, where would you be? Who would you be? And in some cases, what would you be? What kind of person would you have turned out to be? God gives us these trials for a reason. A lot of them don't happen because of you. A lot of them happen to you. Part three, the darkest hours. During a hardship of your life, think of a hardship in your life, relational, self-imposed, event created, so on. Now I want you to think of the darkest time of that trial. What was going on? How did it make you feel? What thoughts were running through your mind? Was it, again, God, where are you? Why aren't you intervening? Or in some cases, yelling at the top of your lungs off of campus, where are you? And of all that I've been taught about you and who you are, why aren't you here? Why are you intervening? During my junior year, I got back from Israel. I was dating this girl, blonde, athletic, like Marvel, family-oriented, went to church, and so on. This was my also first long-distance relationship, which was not the best thing for me, considering, well, my first love language is physical contact. I mean, the first time you meet me, I either give you a hug or a high five, let's face it. I went on a drive with a friend of mine a couple years ago in Dodge. And since we both needed time out of Haviland, that's what we decided to do. On our way back, I ended doing some things that I strongly regret, and I did not have the self-discipline to keep my hands to myself, so in layman's terms, it's also the first time I cheated on someone. That night, that week, I almost loved two people I loved the most in my life. That night, I accomplished two things. The first, I did something that I did morally think I was capable of doing. The second, that action was my own Armageddon. It destroyed who I believed that I was, the very sense of my being. In the third, I heard two people in the most deepest of ways with one fatal blow. Jeremiah talks about how God has a plan for all of us, how he has a plan to help us prosper and keep us safe. Has it ever occurred to you that during some of our most darkest hours in almost any situation, that we are prone to the greatest of changes? Those are the premium times, the moments, the seconds, if you will, you name it, where God does his handiwork. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's masterpiece. Those are the times where you'll be able to become God's masterpiece. Those are the times in which faith plays a key role in doing its best work in your life. My mother, I learned everything I knew. I learned everything I've known from her. And today she still teaches me so many lessons. My mother, every time we went through some sort of hardship, or I did, she would always tell me two things. The first, God is always working behind the scenes. He's always working behind the scenes, whether you see it, know it, or not. And the second, God does some of his best work when we go through the furnace. It's going to hurt. It sucks. But think of how you turned out. If there's anything I want you to take away from this lesson, is most of all that God will never, nor will he ever forsake you, even when you don't feel him. He's given you the power. He has given you the ability to push through and stay true till the end. Again, I say the Lord does some of his best work through the most troubling of times. Part four, when the dust settles. For all the times that you've legitimately struggled, and I'm not talking about worrying about a test or if you're going to be an appointment or punctuality. I'm talking about like legitimately struggle, like when life hits you out of nowhere. What happened? Were you pissed? Like, were you like punched the wall angry? Were you scared? Were you doubtful of yourself and of your belief? Now think of the latter, after the struggle passed. Did you learn anything? Self-growth, self-actualization, self-evolution, any self-revelation, all the shins. Better question is, were you ever alone? Were you ever alone, or were there someone to stick by your side? Who do you think put them there? And you think compelled them to actually stick by your side while the other person tried to push you away with everything that they had because they thought it was either easier or safer. Who do you think you would be without your struggles? Do you ever think about that? You know, what's actually sad and a little bit depressing is that when people first come into Christianity, actually, let me switch that up again. When they come into Christ, a relationship with God, they come into a mindset of getting the world, getting their life on a silver platter. They have the belief that everything starts to get easy, like cruising down on an open road on a Saturday during the summer when it's 90 degrees, sometimes playing FGL. Where in the Bible does it say that? Where in the Bible does it say, "And now, my disciples, now that you have opened your hearts to my will, your life shall flow like the rivers of the Nile. I shall deliver your life on a silver platter, no charge." Where does it say that? Part five, the conclusion. Thank God. I'm still alive. In life, we are faced with struggle after struggle, hardship after hardship, and so on. And sometimes it feels like they never stop. Actually, a lot of the time as you grow older. Why do you think this is? Why do you think these things happen to us? Why do you doubt God's power? Why do you doubt God's power when he doesn't come to your aid when you call or sometimes yell? Have any of you noticed that we've been taught that when we come into relation with God, that things will get easier? Things become like the yellow brick road and skipping to my loo. To God's paradise. We have been and are becoming more disillusioned as the years go by to have the mindset of, "I've become a Christian, life will be like a silver platter, and ask, I shall receive." wrong. Wish I had a buzzer. I hate to break it to you. Actually, the third time I'll switch the words around. I would greatly favor in enlightening you on the truth of what you're becoming a part of. So, I know y'all have your smartphones out. Can anybody look up Matthew 16, 24 through 26 real quick? Read it loud and proud. Matthew 16, 24 through 26, yeah.
Then Jesus said to the disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?"
Read that last part one more time.
All of the verses?
25 through 26.
For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?
Y'all are going to love this. In the words of Toby Mac, a.k.a. the Christian Justin Timberlake, I don't want to gain the whole world and lose my soul. In my life, I'm learning and I'm continuing to learn that Christianity is not a religion so much so as being able to have the ability to be in the relationship with the Most High. The person, the being that created literally everything you see, feel, hear, and touch. And if you're weird enough, maybe even lick based off of a dare or something, I don't know. You're able to be pretty much BFEs with, best friends for eternity. I know some of you are going to use that later on. Yes, life is abusive a lot of the time. Being a Christian is even more difficult the majority of the time. Why do you think that is? Why? I want you to think about that for a second. Why do you think being a Christian is more difficult the majority of the time? Like any superhero would say, because of becoming something much more bigger than yourself. You're becoming a part of a bigger puzzle, a bigger piece of art. Raise your hands if you're a gamer of some kind. There you go. Okay. When you receive an objective, a mission, what does it consist of? Like, what challenges does it consist of? Do you just waltz in and take what you need? Or do your enemies, slash nowadays zombies, step aside and say, "After you, my good man, take what you need and have a nice day"? No. Heck no. You fight with what you have, die a few times, learn to go about it differently, maybe have a few rage quits and hoping your fist and TV survives, let's be honest, and hopefully not spend another $40 on a controller. And come back, do it later with new strategies, and combat even harder than you did last time, with absolutely no hesitation. A little bit longer. Same applies to Christ, except you don't kill people. You save them. You receive your calling, build your character, perfect your craft through trial and error, and as you grow older and more in yourself, you receive even more opposition. Perspectives clash, which change brings fear, and taking away comfort zones invites fear of the unknown. That still scares the crap out of me, and a lot of you. I know that for a fact. If there's anything I want you to take from this, is be prepared for opposition. Like, for real. In both the physical and spiritual realm, but a lot more the spiritual. In relationship with Christ will flip you in every sense of the word and meaning. It will flip your outlook on life, yourself, those around you, and your perceptions, and a lot of other things. Lastly, let me ask you this, and hear me when I say it. Since when did Jesus dying on the cross for our sins to pay the penance of our death translate into God giving us a hall pass through life? We're all worn. We're all tired. We all struggle. But what will you do with it? Who will you go to help?